welcome to the Sound of Economics from Bruegel, the Brussels-based economic policy think tank. I'm Sean Gibson, Bruegel's press officer, and in this episode we begin a new podcast series called Deep Focus, where we dig a little deeper into Bruegel's research papers and discuss the key points with the authors. So for today's instalment, joining me is Bruegel Senior Fellow, Zsolt Darvas. Hello, Zsolt.
Hello.
So today we're discussing healthcare and specifically its macroeconomic implications. This is something you've explored in a Bruegel policy contribution, co-written with Nicolas Moes, Yana Myachenkova and David Pickler. I think it's good to start at the beginning and ask, why do healthcare systems matter and what aspects of the macroeconomy do they affect most strongly?
Healthcare systems are very large, account for almost 10% of output and almost the same share of employment. So it's a really, really important sector. And also pharmaceutical companies have a very large role in research and development expenditures, almost 20%. But beyond the large share of healthcare in the economy, there are also many channels through which healthcare influences the macroeconomic outcomes. One such channel is the fiscal channel. Healthcare is one of the largest expenditure items of any government. So if people are sick, or they are getting older and need more healthcare services, then public finances are become much more strained. So healthcare expenditures have major implications for long-term sustainability of public finances. There are also many other channels, for example, through the labor market. If somebody is sick or ill quite frequently, that individual could be excluded from the labor market. And European statistics indicate that while a decade ago, 3.5% of the labor force was excluded from the labor market due to health reasons, this share has increased to 4.5%, a relatively large share. And also the dynamics is really alarming that more and more people are out of work due to health reasons. Healthcare can also, or good health can also influence the decision of individuals, whether they seek work or they not seek work. They can also influence their productivity. For example, if someone is frequently sick, then he can focus much less on the jobs when he is or she is back to work, and also might need retraining after a longer period of sick leave. Another important aspect is the human capital. There are ample research demonstrating that the health conditions have an influence on a child's ability to master new knowledge. So if, for example, children are sick for long when they are young, then I think their whole life is undermined. So it's also absolutely important to support all children with high quality health care in order to be able to develop themselves.
So your study finds significant variety between countries in terms of healthcare spending and healthcare efficiency as well. Which countries did you find to be at the extremes, and what factors might be driving these differences?
We have run a standard analysis to check which countries have more efficient healthcare sectors. And we found that within the European Union, Italy, France, and also Poland and Austria are belong to the countries which have more efficient healthcare systems, while, for example, Denmark and Slovakia have less efficient healthcare systems. But I also have to mention that the United States has even much less efficient healthcare system than any country in the European Union. And a lot depends on how the healthcare is organized, how the hospitals are managed, how insurance, health insurance are actually managed. So there are many, many issues which can help to determine the efficiency of the healthcare system. And certainly the fact that many countries are far from being efficient implies that even without additional money, they can reach much better health outcome just by organizing their healthcare system more efficiently.
So the research also suggests I would say, a positive correlation, perhaps, in post-crisis years between a country's healthcare spending cuts and the depth of that country's recession. But it also seems that you observe thresholds in spending, so a limit beyond which extra spending doesn't yield better results. I was wondering if you could elaborate on this point and perhaps the limits of healthcare spending and where it should be best deployed.
Economic research suggests that healthcare spending has relatively large short-term impact on the economy, which means that if, for example, the government cuts spending in healthcare in an economic crisis, then it beyond, you know, just losing the output, which is directly associated with healthcare, there are also secondary impacts which have negative impact on the output. For example, healthcare system also has some low wage earners. So if you know their employment is cut, then low wage people receive much less income, and low wage people typically have much higher consumption level from their income. They consume almost everything they earn. So if their income falls, their consumption also falls. And, you know, this influences all other sectors. They buy less food. They go less frequently to movies. They buy fewer TV sets and so on. So healthcare is found to have a relatively large short-term impact. It is called in the economics jargon as fiscal multiplier. When we look at European Union countries, we observe that in most Western European countries, healthcare system spending by the government was kept at a relatively stable level, which means that these Western European countries were able to protect their economies from the secondary impact of large cuts in healthcare system. But unfortunately, this was not the case in Southern Europe. If you look at countries, not just Greece, but also Italy or Spain, we do see very large cuts in healthcare spending during the recent crisis of the past few years, which have likely amplified the economic slowdown. And certainly, as I just argued, it likely had secondary negative impacts on the economy and also on jobs and on the people. So one very clear conclusion from our work is that healthcare system should be spending by the government should be kept relatively stable in an economic downturn. And certainly I argued before that there are major reasons why we believe that healthcare system are not always efficient. These efficiency improvements will probably have to be made when there are good times in the economy and not at a time when there's a deep recession.
But also in terms of the thresholds that your study touches upon, there's certain levels beyond which you can't go, or is it about picking the right area to spend with healthcare?
We also noticed that when countries tend to increase their public healthcare spending, then we see an improvement in healthcare indicators. For example, life expectancy is a very general healthcare indicator, which reflects, you know, how much additional years a person is expected to live. So we see that, for example, life expectancy improves with increased healthcare spending, but it seems that there is a leveling off effect. After a certain threshold, it doesn't increase further. And when we looked at other healthcare outcome indicators, we have noticed very similar outcomes. So this suggests that certainly governments will have to reach, you know, a certain level of public spending on healthcare. But beyond that level, healthcare spending doesn't really reflect it in outcome indicators. But it doesn't necessarily mean that all of this, you know, spending could be simply scrapped. So it could be that, for example, the quality of the hospitals are nicer, waiting times are shorter, you know, hotel rooms are much more comfortable and so on. So there are also a number of qualitative aspects of healthcare which could improve with increased spending. But a very, again, important message from our report is that government should be very, very careful when assessing their level of healthcare spending, because again, beyond a certain threshold, more spending doesn't seem to improve health outcomes.
You touched earlier on the impact of some cuts in spending to lower income workers, and that sort of brings us around to the theme of inequality, which has become a key talking point in policy conversations across the world in recent years. So where does healthcare fit into this conversation, and how can healthcare affect inequality in any given country?
Poorer people tend to have much worse health conditions than richer people. The reasons for that are many, many fold. You know, some relates to, for example, worse diet. I mean, poorer people cannot afford high quality food. Some relates to just basically knowing about what is healthy and what is not. Typically, better educated and richer people are much more aware about what are the healthy policies and activities, and what is a healthy lifestyle. So poorer people typically have worse health conditions than the richer people. And if the healthcare system is able to provide a uniform, high quality access to healthcare system to everyone, then the healthcare system can be a very important tool in reducing the negative implications of income inequality. Now, when we look at the European Union in this respect, we unfortunately found that there are still major health inequalities. If you look at the poorest people and the richest people, and what share of these people have unmet medical examination or treatment needs, then we see, for example, that in the EU as an average, almost 5% of the poor people suffer from improper access to healthcare, by only 1% of the rich people suffer from that. So indeed, there are major inequalities, and also countries are not the same. The largest health inequalities observed in Greece, also in Italy and Latvia, there are relatively large health inequalities, while in some Western European countries, health inequalities are relatively low.
Well, I think that about brings us to the end of the podcast. Thanks very much for joining me, Salt. And thank you for listening to The Sound of Economics. And we hope you enjoyed our new series, Deep Focus, in this, the first installment. If you're interested in any more of Bruegel's work, we have a range of blogs and papers available on our website at www.bruegel.org. I hope you'll join us again on The Sound of Economics. Until next time, bye-bye.